The following is a Fourth Hand production.
Is this really necessary? It just feels so wrong.
Oh, relax, Ripley. King Roland said he'd give us the 1 million space bucks that Lone Star turned down if we do this job for him. Besides, we need the money.
Yeah, but he didn't say anything about crashing their wedding.
True, but I couldn't turn down the opportunity. Besides, I want to see Dot's Matrix and see if she can handle Fett's fury.
Of course. I should have known there was some underlying reason you accepted their offer. I don't think her program is meant for those kind of human-cyborg relations.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
Hey, who do you know here?
Well, no one. But we're big fans.
Yeah, would you by chance be interested in maybe a few cases of slightly defective thermal detonators? Maybe we could make a deal.
Security, I have what looks like two space pirates at the royal wedding. Send backup.
Shit.
Okay, quick, to the ship, Ripley.
It's time for the news. Delete, 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 delete.
Welcome back, Dimension Hoppers. I'm Jova Ringfinger Fett, and with me as always...
I'm Ripley Save the Date Scott.
And you're listening to yet another epic addition to the Close Encounters of the Slurred Kind catalog.
This month just so happens to be Unlucky Wedding Month, so along with our usual... helping of news and absurdity, we'll be bringing you some of the geekiest wedding ceremonies this side of the galaxy, as well as some seriously bonkers bachelor party pitfalls.
Yeah, so sit back, grab a second plate of cake, and no bridesmaid banging until after you finish the episode, not the cake.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can finish both at the same time. We're not here to judge.
And that would be impressive, too.
That would be. All right, let's start it off with an article coming to us from Deseret.com. Now, it's not too often that we reference Mormon-ran websites on this podcast, so let's mark this one down in the calendar, shall we?
Absolutely.
So again, this comes to us from Deseret News, or also Deseret.com. With the title, New Rumor Suggests Disney Will Reset Star Wars Universe, Erase Last Jedi, and Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, thank God.
If you listen to our Star Wars podcast, you know that this is a big, big, big dream come true if you're Jobba Fett.
Absolutely. Oh my God.
Yeah. And to be honest, I mean, there isn't one... great Star Wars movie outside of the original trilogy. The first three, the prequels were absolute garbage.
I can concur. I mean, I have a love for them, which I've told you about. I do have, a special place in my heart for them, but they are, I won't lie and say they're good movies, because they're not.
No, I mean, they may be good if you're 10 and don't know any better, but that's about it. And then these newer ones, they got progressively worse. The Force Awakens was pretty good. Not great, but it was pretty good. And then
as far as a carbon copy movie goes, it was pretty good. You know what I mean? And as far as making a complete exact replica of A New Hope, I mean.
Right, exactly. To the point where, Han Solo is Obi-Wan Kenobi. And right. And that's probably why it was the best one of the three, just because it mimicked the original formula so well, whereas two was meh, and three was are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. For me, two was are you fucking kidding me, the Last Jedi. But, they continued on that. They tried a little bit because they realized everyone hated it. And the third one, oh my God, it was just so horrible. But yeah, so what is this article telling us? I know.
Right. So there's a rumor that suggests that there's a Jedi power called the Veil of the Force. So not Jedi power, but a thing in Star Wars called the Veil of the Force, which was used in Star Wars Rebels. That is has a mythical dimension that connects time and space together. So basically in Star Wars Rebels, A character called Ezra Bridger jumps into the portal, and he found doorways between time and space and saved his friend Ahsoka Tano from the death of, at the hands of Darth Vader. So what this theory is suggesting is that this Veils of the Force will go all the way back to the ending of the original trilogy when the Emperor Palpatine gets thrown down the shaft by by Darth Vader. And supposedly the only reason he survives is he goes into his hall of mirrors or their room of mirrors. Basically, they keep him from dying. And this theory is that somebody will use this to keep Palpatine from actually staying alive and make sure he actually dies in that, thus eliminating, you know, all the strings that he pulled with Snoke and everything that set up the last trilogy, and give him basically a blank slate to do something new if they wanted to.
Which they should, and you know Disney knows they're in trouble when they have to revert back to a potential story arc coming from an animated series to to reset their actual money-making engine. You know that they're probably going, fuck, we got to use the cartoons now to actually make... you know they're probably sitting back kicking themselves, but I mean, they should have been kicking themselves the entire time, in my opinion.
Right, because I think they paid something like $2 billion to Lucasfilms for the rights to Star Wars. Yeah. And granted, they probably grossed about $3.5-4 billion, but I bet you those movies together didn't even make $1 billion. So they're definitely down on their investment. They may be making up in merchandising, and they're, you know, overloading the different Disney parks of Star Wars now, but they're probably not getting the return on their investment that they had originally planned. And they can see that, you know, the cinema side of things is going downhill quickly for them.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, everyone hated on, you know, the Solo Star Wars story, which I really liked. I think it could have been a little bit lighter in terms of, like, the contrast and the colors, because it was kind of, like, literally hard to see what was going on. But I liked that movie. I feel like if they go that route, I don't know why. I think it's because it came out so closely after The Last Jedi that it got so much backlash. But I think there's hope for Star Wars films. If they can get shit right and get it away from Kathleen Kennedy, I think they have a shot. But did you? So the Deseret News is who covered this article. Did you see the YouTube channel, the guy, what it was called, the guy who actually leaked this information? Did you see what his name is?
I did. And let's... I had to click on the link.
It's called Doomcock. That was what his YouTube channel. I was like, well, that is a very unfortunate YouTube channel name, but he has a bajillion subscribers and he leaks a bunch of accurate information. So, I mean, hey, all hail the cock. I don't know.
I'm seeing Overlord DVD.
It's the same. Yeah, it's the same guy. It's the same guy.
Oh, okay. I got you.
It's just one of his channels, and it's like Doomcock, Overlord DVD, whatever. Yeah, he's got like a few different ones. It's super weird to me, though.
That would make sense into why they didn't reference his name.
Absolutely.
In this Mormon article.
That's kind of what I was thinking, too. I was looking at that going, I wonder where the source is. And then I was like, oh, yeah.
And if you don't believe us that this is a Mormon website, on the top of my particular screen right now is a big banner ad for BYU Cougars and their football team. So,
There you go. There you go. Funny. All right. Well, we'll hop out of a Star Wars scape here and head into the next article, which we're entering into the Star Trek scape. I love how we bounce from one to the other. So this one is coming at you from literally StarTrek.com, and it's some of their latest news. And it's basically titled Star Trek Lower Decks Sets Release Date. And oh my gosh, I don't know if you can hear that, but that's me rubbing my hands together really, really loud. So it's
fapping.
Yeah, exactly, not fapping, which is probably confusing for most listeners since they're probably used to hearing me do that a lot. So this is awesome. This is basically, it's got some of the same production team and staff that gave us Rick and Morty's awesomeness. And if you're a fan of our show, then you know that we're huge fans of that. And it's basically going to be Family Guy in space. And you know what I mean? It's going to take like basically the crew of this very non-recognizable or non-iconic ship in Starfleet that doesn't get much action, but it's basically going to be talking about...
The lowest-ranking ship in the fleet.
Yeah, the lowest-ranking ship in the fleet, and it's all about the adventures of, like, the lower deck ensigns that don't really have pivotal roles on the bridge and stuff. And it's going to be, you know, it's got lots of really cool cast and crew. Who did I see was on this? Jerry O'Connell is going to be a voice actor on here, and I thought that was super cool. I don't know if you know him, Ripley from Sliders. It's another really good sci-fi show from the 90s. Oh,
Rebecca Romijn. Hey, there we go. Better to look at than hear, but, you know, nonetheless.
True.
Ethan Peck, who I'm not sure.
Ethan Peck was the guy who played Spock in Star Trek Discovery, I think.
I'm going to be very disappointed.
I'm like,
oh, yeah, he looks like he could play a Spock.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm so excited for this. This is going to be so cool. It's apparently one of three new series coming to, I guess, CBS All Access, unless you're a pirate like us, which it's coming to you at, you know, different ways, which I won't go into. But, you know, it's going to be one of three. One of them is going to be a children's show, which I think is very, it mentions a children's show here in the article, and I don't know how that's going to play out. But it's going to be also joined by another one called Strange New Worlds, taking place with Captain, oh my gosh, why am I blanking on his? Captain Kirk, which is Anson Mount plays him, Pike.
Oh yeah, sorry, that's what I was reading. So that's the one that's gonna have Rebecca Romijn and Ethan Peck, not
Lower Decks.
Star Trek, yeah, not Lower Decks. My bad, I got too far ahead of myself.
But I'm so excited to know that they've got three literally confirmed shows coming out, and that's like, not including the new season of Discovery, which I watch for the badass special effects, not really the characters because most of them suck. And then I also, you know, of course, Picard was amazing. So it's super cool, man. It's great to be a Trekkie right now. So anyways, I don't know how you have anything to say about that stuff, or you want to move on to the next thing.
Well, you know, I'm not a huge Star Trek fan. I mean, I don't mind it, but I don't go head over heels for it like you do. But this actually looks awesome. Like I messaged you when you sent me this article and said, this looks, you know, fucking awesome, just because one, it's Rick and Morty people, right? And it's just taking this big new spin on it, but in kind of an irreverent way, which it speaks to my heart.
Exactly.
If that says anything about me, but, you know, it just, I love the premise of it. It sounds hilarious. So I'm definitely into it.
Yeah, and it's going to premiere on Thursday, August 6th, so buckle up to which it says right here, captions, rarely going where no one has gone before. God, that's so clever. I love it. I love it. It's going to be 10 episode first season, and can't wait. So anyways, with that being said, I think we have a transmission coming in, so we'll play that real quick, and then we will go into our first segment.
Lord Vader here. I interrupt your broadcast to bring you a brief message. Every other week, be sure to tune in to Close Encounters of the Slurred Kind to catch the latest edition of The Sith Sense, a mini-series in which I, ruler of the Galactic Empire, bestow the darkest knowledge the universe has to offer in an effort to solve your pathetic problems. Are you getting ghosted on Tinder? I know how to deal with ghosts. Just ask Jar Jar. How should you handle the first time you forgot your anniversary? Allow me to explain to her the Sith's rule of two. How on earth does your mother always know best? Allow me to check her midichlorian count. Camping on Endor with no fire and a pack of half-frozen Franks? I'll show you how to tweak the settings to turn your lightsaber into a lifesaver. All you have to do to unlock these dark Sith secrets and more is send an email to closeencountersslurredkind@gmail.com. That's closeencountersslurredkind@gmail.com. Or send us a message on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at The Slurred Kind. I sense much excitement and anticipation in you. Search your feelings, you know it to be true. Remember, don't be a hater. Listen to the Vader. Wait, can we edit that last part out?
All right, and we're back. So, should take a see where we are here. What the fuck was
barking
that?
Barking spiders over here.
It's like, holy cow. All right, so the first segment is coming at you from Gizmodo.com. 25 geeky weddings that are just as fantastical as the royal wedding. These are so awesome. So I just saw the front, like the cover image of it, and it sold me. I was like, Admiral Akbar marrying like what looks like, I think this is a lesbian couple. I'm not sure, but it's absolutely Princess Leia in her, you know, her Jabba.
Yeah.
Her Jabba sexy outfit. Oh.
And just in case somebody gets on here has read this article before, yes, we know this article is over 9 years old, and yes, we are still going to report on it. So you know what? Yeah. Fuck you.
That's right, man. 2011 was a great year, so you can suck it.
That's right. We are not reporting shit from 2020. That's all we can tell you.
Amen to that. Goddamn. Goddamn. All right. So take it away on
all
the
right,
first
Mr.
one,
Poopy
Ripley.
Pants.
That's right.
All right. So the first one we got RoboCop ice sculpture.
Yeah.
Oh, this is awesome. It's just, yeah, at a wedding of Michelle Romo and Jason Batru's, a RoboCop ice statue greeted guests. How excited would you be if you walked into a wedding or a reception and saw this motherfucker? Like,
my God, that would be so cool. I'm trying to think of a famous RoboCop quote, and I can't. I used to watch that show or that movie all the time when I was little because I loved the gore that was so prevalent in those movies, and I can't think of anything. He had so many good lines that were so corny and great, and I can't for the life of me. You're coming with me, or something like that. He had something like, I don't know. Anyways, that's fantastic, fantastic. And I like the caption here. The only thing better than this would be if he was riding a unicorn that shot whiskey out of its horn, which that's a pretty good visual, I'm not going to lie. So, oh, the next one's even better than the RoboCop thing. So we got a Bruce Campbell zombie wedding. So it says here, screw an impersonator. These zombie enthusiasts got married by Bruce Campbell in an all-undead affair at Seattle ZombieCon. That is the coolest shit ever. If I could ever meet a girl that would be okay enough to, like, let me get married and have Bruce Campbell ordain. Oh, my gosh. I'm fangirling right now. I'm fangirling.
The funny thing is, the groom kind of looks like Bruce Campbell's
son.
He
does.
Like,
he does. It looks like they could be related. And I bet that's probably, like, you know, on purpose. But, I guess you can't really help genetics. Maybe it's not on purpose. But, anyways. Yeah, I noticed that, too. That makes me want to go watch some Evil Dead really, really bad.
Hell yes. All right, next up, we've got Atomic Age Chupa. This glorious Jetsons-esque Chupa. I'm not going to lie, I don't know what a Chupa is.
I don't either. I'm assuming it's that little dome platform they're standing on. I'm not sure.
You know, it would have really helped if you would have Googled this. A canopy beneath which Jewish marriage ceremonies are performed. Oh, so it's where they smash the light bulb.
All right. Hey, there we go.
proving that you don't have to have a movie or television angle to have a unique and stylish science fiction wedding. So basically, you're looking at this thing, and it does kind of look like it's coming out of Jetsons or something like that. It's
very, very ultra modern, futuristic style for sure.
Yes, yes, but still with like a little bit of a Go-Go's tint.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. Yeah.
And maybe it's just the girl's boots.
Yeah, you could definitely get sort of like, it's definitely got that Jetsons mashup of the two, like the Atomic Age plus.
Yeah, you know. We picked the theme of retrofuturism. That, I should have read the first line. I did not know that was a thing. That is like a limp hard on, right?
I was just about to make a sex joke and you got to it before me. Damn it. But yeah, no, that's very accurate. Limp hard on. I've been called similar things. Okay, so the next one is Lord of the Rings elven dress. This is like for those weirdo LARPing people, you know, and people are like, how can you be a science fiction podcast co-host and make fun of someone for liking Lord of the Rings? I'm like, listen, that's fantasy. Sci-fi is space and time travel. Get your shit straight, you know? But I'm just kidding.
We're not traveling to Mordor, you nerds.
That's right, man. Three movies about people walk into a volcano to toss a ring. God, I'm sorry. I can't not quote Clerks 2.
No, that's the first thing I see in my mind is Randall just going through his monologue and walking across the floor of movies. Absolutely. I'm going to have a hard pass on this one. But, you know, if this is something you like and you want to do it, more power to you. This is America. Do what you want to do. Do what makes you happy, right?
Exactly.
Doesn't infringe on my freedoms and my rights, so, you know, be happy.
Amen, amen. And the next one, I guess you hit up the next one here. It looks,
This is something I can get behind. The Back to the Future First Dance.
Yes!
An Earth Angel First Dance and a Pulp Fiction follow-up.
Ooh.
Delightful. 1,000 bonus points if you put up an enchantment under the sea sign.
Yes, God, that would be going all in. You have to punch someone in the face, you know, right at the very end of the dance, too. You have to have someone that maybe your least liked groomsman, the one that's really annoying that you had to invite just because your family would have been mad at you if you didn't.
Your future brother-in-law or your new brother-in-law, yeah. Which, actually, in context, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense since he's supposed to be, you know, trying to
get
with your girl. But, you know what? That's semantics. We don't have to worry.
Whatever. As long as you get to punch somebody, you don't read too much into it, you'd probably be fine.
Right. Just punch somebody you don't like. It's your wedding day, right?
Absolutely. That's right. That's right. And the next one, oh, man, this speaks to my inner child because, man, that's one of my favorite 90s kids movies was The Neverending Story. We've got a Neverending Story snail car, and it's perfect. It looks just like that giant horrible snail that was in the first one with, you know, just the really bad special effects. So Justin and Jordana rode into the sunset on their very own fire-breathing snail. No idea this was an intentional Neverending Story plug, but it brought this Falcor fanatic a lot of happiness. So cool. And I didn't know the snail breathed fire in the movie, did it? I didn't know that it did that, but
honestly, I've not seen that movie in 30 years.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's been a long time for me too. But
next up, this is something just—it's subtle, but nonetheless still memorable. A King Kong kick topper. That's right. You get King Kong, which he's oddly misshapen. His head is very large, and then, you know, he's holding the blonde girl, of course, and. Still memorable. You'd still remember that wedding, right?
I would like to think that there's more to this than just that topper, and they just didn't make it into the article. I'd like to think that the groom came out in an actual gorilla suit, and to everyone's surprise, and then, like, literally picked up the girl and ran out the door before they could commence the, you know, before he could kiss the bride. And I think that would have been, I bet that's what happened. That's what I like to tell
myself. Or plot twist, he was going to marry a brunette, the maid of honor was blonde, and he ran out.
Yes! Oh my, that makes it even better! Oh gosh, I hope that's what happened. We'll never know. We'll never know. The next one is a Star Wars cake. Pretty cool. It looks like the Millennium Falcon. You know, it's pretty awesome. The icing looks good. I wouldn't want to eat it. I'd want to just keep it forever. You know, I would be, it'd be hard to eat. So, anyways, that was next one.
All right, next up, vintage sci-fi wedding invites. Another great example of pulling images, tones, and feelings from the genre that you love and making them your own. This self-proclaimed couple of sci-fi dorks made a CD of original music for their guests, inspired a bit by sci-fi, no doubt. All right.
That's awesome. I would so do that. God, I got to find a sci-fi chick.
Big to differ. If you're making your own music...
Are they making their own?
They're... Original music.
Okay. Never mind. I didn't know that. Okay.
You send me a wedding invite of you singing with your fiance, I'm throwing that shit out immediately.
Yeah,
and
I thought it was just a compilation that they had together. Okay, if they were singing it together, it's funny, but they... that's cringy. Yeah. That's cringy.
Yeah, that is very cringy. You're not Weird Al. You don't... No. Mm-mm. I'm out.
Yeah, nope. Oh, this next one is awesome. I lost my heart to a Starship Trooper. The only way this one would make sense is if, you know, bugs just came in and crashed the party and tore people limb from limb. It'd be hilarious. So don't be afraid to pull out the deep sci-fi cuts. It's your day, after all. Check out this pair who had an a cappella group serenade the audience to the space disco I Lost My Heart to a Starship Trooper by Sarah Brightman and Hot Gossip. Didn't know that was an actual thing, but I do know Starship Troopers, the movie, was quite violent and fantastic. And it also had, who's the guy from How I Met Your Mother that's always getting with ladies? Barney?
Yeah.
He's in the movie. In
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah. Oh, you get a really good one. Oh, man.
I know. Second Back to the Future one, The Wedding DeLorean. Or you could just rent a DeLorean like this couple. Make sure to pose like the Back to the Future poster. Of course, of course.
He even looks like Marty McFly.
He does in a bit, yeah, a little bit. A passing resemblance.
Yeah.
Of course, you can't put a flux capacitor in the back of a rented DeLorean, so good luck.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, from the front, nobody can tell. It's like a mullet almost.
That's right. He's just missing his, what I guess they said in the first one, where's his orange life preserver?
Right.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Firefly Wedding. Here we go. God, you got to have a real, real understanding sci-fi nut of a woman to let you do this, because those, what do you call those, suspenders aren't doing anybody any favors.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it matches the occasion. So, the Firefly Wedding, Mal and Inara's big damn wedding, complete with amazing costumes. We love that this couple went whole hog on the Firefly theme. Even their invites and decorations were from the Whedonverse. That is cool. I loved Firefly, so that is pretty badass. But again, you'd have to find a really nerdy chick to do that with you, so kudos to that guy.
So, you know, my daughter's name is Lillian, and, you know, the whole banana nana faux thing, the children's song, I say Lillian, banana nana, Nathan Fillion. That was my song for her.
I love that. Oh, my God. You've never told me that. That's so awesome.
I'm waiting until she gets old enough to understand. Be like, why the fuck are you calling me Nathan Fillion?
Maybe be Nathanelia? I don't know.
All right, next one up is Corpse Bride Wedding Cake. It's a wedding cake. So I do actually have a couple friends that, well, the guy specifically is super into Nightmare Before Christmas, and this is something they would definitely do.
Well, this is it's a Tim Burton movie called Corpse Bride, but it is definitely within the whole. But it's the same, you know. Same universe type stuff, you know what I mean?
Right. It's American Dad and Family Guy.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a good. It's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, this is. I mean, the cake looks great. Like whoever did a fantastic job, and yeah. So if you're a big fan of it, yeah, by all means. All right, moving on.
Yeah. What do we got here? We've got Star Trek and Space Invader cupcakes. That's awesome. That is two fantastic sci-fi franchises together. Space Invaders, the classic arcade video game, and Star Trek, the father of all science fiction ever. So, yeah, I'd say that's a win-win. Winner-winner chicken dinner. Oh, man, we've got a lot of this. What you got next? We got a lot of this.
Yeah, we're Back to the Future cake. This one is all fondant, is what it looks like. Decent attention to details. Doesn't look great, but, I mean, they definitely tried. So
yeah, the car looks like it's a little bit bent, almost like the magic school bus trying to change it. Yeah, something.
It looks melting. Yeah,
it does look like it's kind of like melting there but a little bit.
E for effort.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the next one is so good. An alien wedding cake. This looks just like something that Ridley Scott would make, just in his, you know, for his daughter's bar mitzvah or something. Dude, oh my God, it's so cool. It's got the little aliens on the top, and what, the alien man has a little hat and a bow tie, and then the other little alien female has a little bride headdress. That is funny. Oh my God,
now,
that's cool.
Do you think it was intentional that they looked like dicks with teeth?
I think that was absolutely part of the aesthetic when they were making it. I honestly, you know, everything looks veiny and pulsating and very much like reproductive, you know what I mean? The whole,
right.
Whole basis
very
of that movie.
Phallic.
Yeah, it is. The whole thing. There's actually a documentary which I did watch, and I can't remember what it was called. I think it's called The Making of Alien, which I'm sure sounds super original. But it was really cool. It shows about like the art and the gothic sort of touch that went into making all this stuff, and it does. They talk about how everything is mega sexualized. But anyways, to this day, no one knows where this alien-inspired wedding cake came from, but what it does have is gusto, heaps of it. If you can pull off this wedding cake, the rest of your life should be a breeze. That's badass. I would so have that.
That is a pretty sweet cake. I mean, that one is very well done.
Yeah, it is.
Especially compared to that heap of shit Back to the Future cake right before. I'm sorry.
It's not doing it any justice. That, yeah.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's all right. Anyways, moving on, which we're going to move on quickly from this D&D invitations. I mean,
yeah,
we're going back to the fantasy versus sci-fi nerds. But, you know, if you want to do D&D invitations, that's cool. I'm not coming, but that's cool. I'm just kidding. I'd probably come. It depends on the bar situation. Open bar, I'm there.
Yeah, I could see that too. No, I was saying, oh my gosh, the next one here, because when I looked at it really quick and looked away, it's a Star Wars wedding, just to brief you guys. It looked like, if you look at it really quick, you got Darth Maul and then a bunch of people wearing robes. I thought for sure this was like a satanic cult initiation. And then
The purple lights and everything.
Yeah, then after looking into it, it says, you've seen one Star Wars wedding on the internet. You've seen all of them, right? Wrong. This is the most impressive Star Wars wedding we've seen. It's a YouTube video. So the attention to detail is insane. We'll have to watch this later. Check out where the happy couple got hitched. Yeah, that's the Emperor's throne room. That's dope. If you're going to do something right, that's the way to do it. Anyways, very badass. On to the next.
All right, next up.
There are
horrifically awesome invites. So we've got...
it's Evil Dead. An Evil Dead.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. I scrolled past. I thought that was an ad. That is great. I'm glad that they went with that reference of the girl on the ground and not the one of the girl getting raped by the tree.
Yeah, probably the best. That's a good choice. Good choice on their part. So we're gonna buzz through these a little fast because we have 1,000 of these. So next one, Stargate wedding cake. Basically, if you've seen Stargate, it's basically a big portal to another world or whatever. You know, yeah, great show, horrible movie.
Which, by the way, has definitely spawned like a lot of that portal, because Rick and Morty used it. They used it in Star Trek. Like now, you know, if you need to go to Imagination Land, you build a portal.
That's right. That's right.
The president and Rick and Morty built a portal. It's, you know.
Yeah. Very, very prevalent nowadays. So.
Yes, indeed. All right. Next up, a one of a kind comic book wedding favors. Yeah. So this couple basically recreated an Elektra comic book cover of her falling in love and made it their own, which.
That's badass.
Yeah, sure. If you don't mind plagiarism, that's good. Yeah. I'm kidding. I like it.
It's cool. Oh, another one. We got a Star Trek wedding on the bridge of the Enterprise, no less, with a Borg standing in, as I'm assuming the best man or something. But I'll be honest, man, the guy getting married should not be getting married to that banging woman. Good Lord, she's way out of his league. But you know what? Whatever.
Anyway. He looks like a trust fund baby.
Yeah, he probably is. Oh, cool one next.
All right, next up, we've got Ark of the Covenant wedding cake.
Oh, my God.
Wield the almighty power of the Covenant at your wedding. You may get struck down by the hand of God, but at least it would be a party that everyone remembered.
Yeah, as soon as you eat the top, I just assume a giant archangel comes out and melts your face. I'm just assuming that's what happens. I don't know.
I think that's where conventional wisdom leads us to, yeah.
Yeah.
If you have to do anything, eat the leg. That's where my vote is.
Yeah,
leave that fucking top on.
Just keep
I'll
your
the
eyes.
Leg, I'll the
keep your eyes closed as best you can, as long as you can. You know.
That's true. So that begs the question: do blind people are they subject to that if their eyes are?
That's
open?
A good question that I never.
Like if Matt Murdock was there and you know he's just walking around as Daredevil, is he screwed or you know what's going on here?
It's a good question. I honestly, you know, I've never thought about that. Now every time I watch that and I see Harrison Ford and what's her face, Marion, close your eyes, and there, you know, I'm gonna be thinking that. That's all I'm gonna be thinking of is like, what if someone was blind and walked in the scene and was just like, oh, one way of screaming. I don't really understand what's going on.
So you don't think about how Indiana Jones was completely irrelevant to the whole plot of the movie?
That does cross my mind, but the movie's so good and badass that I like to just forget it, and I don't even care, because, God, I loved Raiders, man. Raiders was awesome!
Fair enough, and much better than Temple of Doom. So, all right, moving on. Ooh, you get a solid one to close it out.
Oh, yeah, TARDIS love. We got some Doctor Who stuff coming at you. Great for photo ops and staging the ceremony. Plus, you get to tell Unlimited it's bigger on the inside jokes all night. That's awesome. So the couple pictured here, Lisa Strickland and Rob Wilson, went the whole hog and even got a couple of Daleks. That's cool. So what a badass wedding prop. I'd love to have a TARDIS just somewhere placed at my wedding. I mean, even if the girl I end up marrying has no idea about sci-fi, she'll probably be like, the fuck is there a big blue telephone booth? I'll be like, just don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it, man. Just kiss me real quick. Kiss me. Come on. Come on. It's practice. I mean,
I would be more impressed if you got a Dalek at your wedding, to be honest.
Oh, my gosh. You'd have to program the Dalek to say something other than exterminate, like,
right.
Like something really foul.
Ingratiate. Ingratiate.
Yeah. Impregnate. Impregnate.
I like it. All right, very good. All right, let's move into our second special segment, which is 15 wild bachelor party horror stories that will make you put off marriage forever. This is coming to you from the good old people at BuzzFeed. My wife takes about 1,000 of those quizzes a day, so good patronage here.
Is BuzzFeed the new millennial Cosmopolitan? I think it is.
It's got to be, I would assume. I mean, I don't know what they do other than put out lists and quizzes. Is that it?
I think that's all. I'll be honest.
Looking at the top of their screen, trivia quizzes, what to watch, COVID-19 explainers, Sex Week 2020. How did we miss that?
I know, right? I was sitting here looking at that going, man, maybe we should click over to that instead. Hey, hey, hey.
All right. I'm thinking we have a Sex Week 2020 show coming up in our future.
That's what
you guys want to hear, right? Us talking about sex.
I think they get that every episode, regardless of what topic we choose.
That's true. It would be incredibly ironic to do a Sex Week 2020 and have it be the most, like, platonic, boring episode that we've
done. That'd be hilarious, though. You know, people would be getting on there going, fuck, man, I don't know. I thought these guys were going to be funny and hilarious, and they're so mundane and vanilla. But, like, anyways.
Yeah, Dan Rather talking about sex. Like, what the fuck?
No one. All right, move.
No one does indeed. Probably not even Dan Rather. All right, let's go back to these bachelor party stories. First up, the groom who made a new furry friend. The story is, for my bachelor party, we went on a camping trip where we got absolutely obliterated.
Duh. Yeah.
I tried to crawl out of my tent to hurl in the woods. I got part of the way, puked both in and out of the tent. Nice.
Yep.
And promptly passed out. I woke up on the ground in a pool of my own vomit with a raccoon eating it 2 feet from my face.
Yes, win. That is a win-win.
Yeah, but also, learn how to handle your alcohol a little bit better, you rookie.
That's true. That's true. Sharing is caring, and that raccoon was really glad he couldn't, so.
Oh.
Hopping into the next one, the nurse in a strip club. I had just graduated from nursing school and was at my sister-in-law's bachelorette party in Atlantic City. We went to a strip club and a bachelor was brought up on stage to get a lap dance. God, man. Everything was going fine until suddenly his head went limp and he became totally unconscious. I wound up having to hop on stage and take over the situation as best I could. My vibe was kind of killed after that. I had a very similar experience at my 21st birthday, which I'm sure will come up in a later episode that I won't go into right now. But, interesting.
Yeah, interesting indeed. Maybe, well, I guess he's in Atlantic City. He probably took the wrong Coke or something.
Probably.
You know, that's just conjecture on my part. We'll move on. The most New Orleans stripper ever. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. Oh, my God.
Does she taste like Old Bay? When our stripper arrived, this is a girl perspective, I assume.
Yeah.
He got drunk and attempted to helicopter his penis. And by attempted, I mean he couldn't stand up straight, let alone get enough momentum to swing his completely flaccid penis. He then said, I didn't always want to be a stripper. My dream is to be in the WWE. He then showed us his audition video that included him popping out of a swamp. And so they follow that with a picture of John Cena, who, by the way, is on his never-ending quest to become Ernest from the Ernest
movies. Oh, my gosh. He does look just like Ernest. Oh, my God. That's funny.
He's grown out the hair. He's parted it to the side. I mean,
even that facial expression he has right now looks very much like... like Ernest. Oh, that is
yes.
That is a great connection. That is very, very accurate. Wow.
Yes. No, I cannot claim that. That is a very prevalent meme from what I've seen. But nonetheless, he is on his quest to become Jim Varney. Absolutely. All right, moving on.
All right, let's go on down to the next one. The Sex Toy Enthusiast, number 4. The bride invited her mother, aunt, and sister-in-law to the bachelorette party. Oh, God. The bride opened a gift, which ended up being a sex toy. The sister-in-law, who is married to the bride's brother, said that she uses it and explained her experience with it, with his mother sitting right there. Ugh! There wasn't even alcohol to downplay how awkward it was. Oh, my God.
So she said she invited her mother, aunt, and sister-in-law, and then it said his mother later, so... His mother was really there as
that.
Well?
Was it his mom or her mom, or were they both there? It wasn't very thorough in explaining that, because, I mean, if it was her mom and her mom was hot, I would be okay with it. But the fact that he's saying it's really awkward, I'm assuming it was absolutely his mom. Ugh.
Yeah, either way, why do that to yourself? If you're going to have a bachelorette party, have some expectations, right? Are you going to be loud and raucous? Don't invite, you know, people that are in a generation above you. It's going to be low and mellow. All parties welcome, right? So you're just setting yourself up for failure there. All right, moving on. The Mexican restaurant Mess Express. Ooh, this one sounds juicy.
Ooh.
Probably literally. One of my bridesmaids and I went to the bathroom of a Mexican restaurant. She walked into the stall, tripped and fell, and broke her nose. Ugh. Shortly thereafter, I was in the bathroom again with another bridesmaid who needed to throw up on... Never know if the big spot on my pant leg was vomit or queso.
Oh, I love that it's coming at you from Fresh Jaguar 34.
Obviously, this was the bride, and her bridesmaids are getting more tank than her. That's horse shit.
That's fucked up, man. It's fucked up. You know, either way, whether that's vomit or queso, though, I'll say on the pant leg, I'd just still toss them. It's probably not even worth it. You know what I mean?
Yep, mm-mm. Not even worth pondering about. They're out.
Next one, we got number 6, the accidentally public hookup. Okay. It was my buddy's bachelor party. We rented a swanky penthouse suite with a huge rooftop patio. I ended up having very loud, drunk sex on the rooftop with the stripper. At one point, I looked over to my left and saw the owners of the hotel standing a few feet away, one of whom started hitting me with her shoe. We were kicked out shortly after that. That... is a story to trump all stories. That's that's awesome.
Coming to you from the user Super Hot Takes.
Yeah, that would be an accurate username. I could see that coming from a source like that. Man, that's definitely one to walk away from knowing you had a good time, I guess, unless, you know, that got out or you got arrested or, you know, if it didn't hinder your future whatever in any way in a negative aspect, then probably that'd be cool to talk about and tell. But you probably wouldn't want that getting out though too, so
right, unless you're Tucker Max.
Yeah, or
then
you're,
you write a whole book about hooking up with a midget stripper.
Exactly. Oh, that horrible movie, great book.
I love the movie.
Oh my gosh, I tried. It's got some redeeming scenes that are funny, but for the most part I was just like, oh, I don't know. I like the guy who plays Tucker Max, though. I thought he was funny.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to agree to disagree here, but nonetheless, moving on again, once more.
Yep.
We shall proceed. The maid of honor who created bridesmaids. We went out to a hibachi restaurant one night, and the chef cooked shrimp on the same surface as all the other food. It turned out the maid of honor is allergic to shrimp, and she literally shit her pants.
Oh, that's the worst. Oh, man. Now, did she shit her pants mid-celebration, or was it later on in, like, the privacy of either the hibachi restaurant bathroom or the hotel room? I want to know. Because if it was during the celebration, that's awesome.
Just, I'm hoping out in the club and, like, you know, almost every girl you see in a bachelorette party, especially at the club, right, is wearing a little skirt or whatever.
Yes.
And you just see like a chocolate waterfall just flowing out. Or as this gif from Melissa McCarthy's character in Bridesmaids, it's coming out of me like lava.
Oh my God, so nasty, so nasty.
You're wrong.
The next one, number 8, the nauseating love scene. When we all got to the hotel room, we found my best friend and the wedding officiant having sex. Oh my God. My other friend, who had gotten kicked out of the club, promptly fell over and projectile vomited all over them. That sounds like something straight out of like a really raunchy romantic comedy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't sound.
Yeah, cool. Something that Goldie Hawn's daughter, Kate, whatever her face
is. I forgot her last name, but yeah, that she would be in. Yeah.
I could see her, and then, of course, Matthew McConaughey probably is going to be in it as well. And
it has, of course, you know.
Yeah. And just sounds like something that I would like to projectile vomit all over.
Yeah. Not my cup of tea, and I know it's not yours either.
All right. Next up, the rest in restroom. After getting back to the hotel from the bar, we realized that the groom's sister was missing. We had to backtrack and finally found her asleep in a porta potty that was outside a food truck festival.
That's awesome. That's like I guess that makes sense. The thumbnail is The Hangover. That's funny. That's like living The Hangover. How great of a story would that be? That's like the time you had to go find me and I was asleep in a bathroom in Nashville. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yes. God.
Yeah. That was horrible, but hilarious. Yeah. Now, you guys had to carry me home, and I think it took all of you.
Yeah, like a mile and a half. Wow. Walk your ass back. Yeah, I do remember that now that you mention it.
You know,
I do remember the puffy guy.
Yeah, you give me a few beers, and I'll find the scuzziest bar with the cheapest beer, and that's where I'll probably make my home for the night. But yeah, God, you tell Matt. That's right, the guy with the shirt or whatever, the puffy guy.
Oh, man, I was very cantankerous that night. It was not a good night for me to be out around people. God. I'm glad I didn't get punched.
Yeah.
All right, next up.
Girlfriend of the century, number 10. One of the bridesmaids went on and on about how in love she was with her boyfriend and the whole ride to Vegas on the party bus. That would get old really fast. Fast forward about 10 hours, we went to a strip club. She became very fond of one of the strippers and ended up inviting him back to our suite at 4 a.m. I was awoken by his super loud moaning. This girl was hooking up with a stripper right in the middle of the room where at least four of us were sleeping. So much for that boyfriend she was so in love with. Oh, that's unfortunate for that sorry sap, whoever he was. But at the same time, people like that drive me nuts.
Right. And yeah, if somebody has to tell you over and over how much they're this or how much they're that, odds are they're overcompensating because they're not.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
All right. Next up, the reluctant street fighter. You got Brad Pitt coming at you, at least according to the little info or little graphic they used. I was sober that night, but that didn't stop me from accidentally initiating an all-out bar brawl. The bouncer grabbed my wrists and pushed me into a nearby support beam, which set off pretty much every guy in our group like a herd of angry water buffalo. A bunch of strangers got involved, and about 20 people ended up fist fighting in the street.
My God, it sounds like a Rolling Stones song. Fighting in the street, boy.
And this comes to you from Kate B., a bunch of letters and numbers. So, all right, that makes a little bit more sense. If a bunch of guys are out and a guy gets grabbed by the wrist and stuff, like, we may yell at the bouncer, but we're not, like, going to go, you know, start clubbing people because of it, right? I mean,
unless you're in the Jersey Shore and it's Jim Tanner.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And your other Guido friends.
Or the Italian Mafia, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That makes sense. All right, so a little bit more understandable if the bouncer's being a dick to a girl. Okay. All right.
Yeah. We can see that. So the next one, number 12, the super chill. The super chill fun experience with drugs. One of the bride's friends was too paranoid to bring the edibles on the plane, so she ate a huge weed-laced Rice Krispie treat in the airport and proceeded to have a massive panic attack on the plane. That would be one of the worst places that I could possibly imagine, especially someone who suffers from frequent panic attacks already. Would not ever want to have one airborne. I can say I have not had one yet. I don't have any wood in here to knock on, so I don't know if that's real wood, but, you know, what the hell, we'll see. That would be horrible. Ugh.
Isn't that basically, well, more or less what happened in Bridesmaids?
You know, I've only seen it one time. I should probably go back and watch it because I did like it. The only reason I've only seen it once, I don't really have an excuse or a valid reason to say why, probably just because it was just the luck of the draw for me. But I need to go back and rewatch that.
I can't remember what they gave her, but she was super high on the airplane and obviously had issues, but... Yeah, that's what that reminded me of, and I don't know. story seems fake to me. I'm calling that fake news.
Fake news.
It's fucking huge.
Yeah.
All right, next up, the groom straight from the flaming depths of hell. Can we work on the hyperbole at all? As a bartender and server in Savannah, Georgia, I saw a soon-to-be groom flip off his fiancée and proceed to make out with the maid of honor at my table.
What?
While I was standing there. I didn't know what to do, so I stood there awkwardly as fighting ensued. Well, that is one way to end an engagement for sure.
That is some bold sauce, if I've ever seen it. Wow. All right, we got two more here. And number 14, the makeup artist who had to make up for being late. The makeup artist and party planner for a friend's wedding went out for the bachelorette party the night before the wedding, and we woke up the next morning to a phone call from her. She was about 2 hours away at a beach house with people she didn't know. One of the other bridesmaids had to start hair and makeup instead. That's a little tame and a little lame. I think that needed a little bit more pizzazz. You know, if she was at that house and she didn't know where she was and there were other crazy things that happened as well, I think there could have been a little bit more entertaining, a little bit more detail in that one. But, you know.
Right. Spill the beans there. I mean, don't let us, you know, try to guess what happened there. We need to know.
Did she make everybody's makeup at that place of all the people she didn't know? Maybe she practiced. We don't know. You know, was she... So that story's got to go somewhere.
Right. I mean, was Bukkake involved? What's happening here? Come on.
God.
We went there. All right. And let's close out this special segment, shall we, with the bridesmaid who almost made it home. Very ominous. At my sister's bachelorette party in Nashville. Hey. I blacked out and tried to find the Airbnb that we were staying in. I ended up sleeping on a bench outside of a random hotel. When I woke up, I figured out that I was actually only a quarter mile from the Airbnb. I swear to God, that would have been Anthony.
Yep.
Had we not made sure that he got home.
That is absolutely accurate because, I mean, didn't he like throw his phone down and shatter everything?
Yes.
Yeah.
He completely crashed it. Yeah, that was great. Then he tried to blame me for that. That was also fantastic. That concludes our special segment on the worst bachelor and bachelorette party stories. Now, granted, I think a lot of our listeners probably could come up with a few more that would top some of those. But nonetheless, that's what we have provided with us. So that's
What? If you have them, send them in. We'd love to. We'd love to hear them. We'd love to talk about them and feature them.
Hell yes. We'll do a special segment on it.
Yeah, we will.
All right. So, Joe, I have to ask you, have you always been into Joan Rivers, or is this a new thing?
I don't follow.
Never mind. I'm just glad we made it out of Druidia in one piece. Well, there went any chance of us getting those million Starbucks from King Roland.
That might be true, Ripley, but the lesson we learned here was far more valuable than anything that money could buy.
And what's that, Joba?
Droids of honor, no matter how sexy, are definitely not programmed for those kinds of relations. Do we have any ice packs on board, or like penicillin?
Look in the glove box. Stay slurred, everyone.
Say it ain't so, that's the end of our show. Turn the mic off, go the f*** home.
Joe Buffett here. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. If you enjoy our ridiculous content, you can get to your nearest cosmic communication device and spread the word to your friends, family, coworkers, or nearby nerve herders. We're available on Spotify, Google Play, Sheeple Music, Apple Music, or wherever you listen. If you have an idea for our show or would like to propose a theme, send an email to closeencountersslurredkind@gmail.com. That's closeencountersslurredkind@gmail.com, or shoot us a message on Facebook. Have a great day, and we look forward to falling even deeper into the Antimatter Minute with you next time on Close Encounters of the Slurred Kind.